Amen. Please be seated. To do baptisms here, you have to not only be a stuntman, but a quick change artist too. So, we're not doing a full sermon this morning, but I do want to share a few words today. Just to talk about this special day that we're observing. I always enjoy seeing the folks come in and do the palm parade at the beginning. That's been a part of our tradition for a long, long time, and it's a great tradition. Just remembering and welcoming Jesus. We always welcome Jesus into our worship, but this is a special day when we acknowledge that he made that journey down from the Mount of Olives. Well, what a great day to celebrate baptism too. We have Jesus' triumph in the triumphal entry, and we have the triumph of baptism that celebrates new life in Christ. They're both beginnings, both special events. Let's look at some of the scripture about the Palm Sunday entrance. Sure we will. There it is. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Well, that's how Jesus announced the beginning of this series of events that we commemorate as Easter Holy Week. To this, we added baptism today. We celebrated the beginning of our serious walk with Jesus. Now, what I mean by that when I say our serious walk with Jesus is that this is a time when we declare, hey, I want to get serious with Jesus. I'm serious about my relationship with Christ. In fact, this is not just a passing whim. This is a lifelong commitment. It's almost like taking a vow in a lot of ways. And it's not just getting wet. It's declaring before God and the church that you want to follow Jesus for life. Well, baptism doesn't just transform us. Yeah, I need a palm branch. There we go. That might be familiar to you. Baptism doesn't transform us, and it doesn't save us, but it is a symbol of God's transforming power in our life, isn't it? We often say that baptism is an outward symbol for an inward change. Receiving Jesus, we've had a change of heart. That's the change on the inside. Baptism is like putting up a billboard and saying, "I've been changed inside, and I want all of you to know it." In baptism, we go down into the water like Jesus was buried after death, and we come up out of the water like Jesus raised from the dead. It's a form of identifying with Jesus. It's very symbolic. And the water also has this other symbol, the symbol of cleansing. Now, let's face it, baptism might rinse a little bit of dirt off you if you do it. But it's not going to rinse our heart. It's not going to make our heart clean. Proverbs 20 and verse 9 says, "Who can say, I have made my heart pure. I am clean from my sin." In reality, nobody can say that because only God can make your heart clean. And that always starts with faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We ask that's the very first question we ask one of these candidates when they get down on their knees in the baptismal tank. And it's appropriate that we did this today because, you know, we're talking about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem for this, you know, important, important week. But we're also talking about an entry into a new phase of Christian life for believers. You know, Jesus started down that hill on that donkey on that Easter week, and that happens just before the crucifixion and then the resurrection. It is a new stage in Jesus' ministry. In fact, it's the final stage of Jesus' ministry, a week that ends at the cross. And that crucifixion pays the price for our sin. Jesus carried our sin all of it, and not just symbolically, to the cross. The cross was necessary because of our fallen human nature. And our fallen human nature, it's like we have a magnetic attraction to sin. You know, we just go looking for it. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now notice it says all. Not some. Not the ones who act religious, especially. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us falls short of God's intention for how we're supposed to live, how he created us to be. And anything we say or do that goes against God's intention, well, we call that sin. Now, that sin keeps us from having a close relationship with a holy God. But God wants to have a relationship with you. Did you know that? He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have you know him personally. He already knows you personally, but he would like you to know him in that way and have a real relationship. He loves you and he loves me. He loves us so much more than we could ever possibly explain here this morning. You know, here's a verse that you're probably very familiar with. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, you might have seen this next popular meme. You can even get it on bumper stickers. Let's see if we can put that up here. I'm going to do my own gestures today. This very popular meme, right here. You've seen it. Jesus peeking around the corner and saying, I saw that. Have you seen that meme? You would have seen it here today, too, but it's not happening. Kind of like Santa Claus. You know, we think of Jesus like Santa Claus, you know, creeping around. I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. I know when you've been bad or good. So be. And we think Jesus is like that, creeping around the corners and watching out and seeing what we're doing and what kind of trouble we're getting into and making a list and checking it twice. Seeing if we've been bad or good. Well, that's not Jesus. But some people have tried to convince us that this is Jesus' whole deal. That he just points the finger at us. That he wants to shame us or to condemn us. And that's not what Scripture says. In fact, the very next verse after John 3:16, John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Can we go back to the meme for a second? I just thought people would like to see that. It's not there. Okay. It vanished. Jesus came so that we can have forgiveness. He didn't come to give us shame, but he came to take away our shame. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem at the beginning of what we now call Holy Week, he was on a path, and he was on a path to make all of those things happen that we know were necessary, that God had called him to follow. And he did it because he loves you. And because he loves you, God sent his Son. And in the very first sermon that the Apostle Peter ever preached on the day of Pentecost, Peter told the crowds, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, repent is a word that carries a lot of weight. You know, we've heard it used in such terrible terms, I think. Sometimes we've heard it in very negative light. But you know, the word repent only means to turn. And in this case, we're talking about turning away from our sin and turning towards Jesus and to believe in him and to follow him. Now, those of you who were baptized today, you're on your own journey of faith, on a new path. You've said, I've decided to follow Jesus, like the song says, and no turning back, no turning back. Now, since the early church at the end of the first century, baptism has been always done in the context of the local church, like this. It's considered a first step into the church, and it's maybe just about one step away from church membership. And some, when they become 16, will decide, oh, I want to be a member of the church and formally join. and be formally received into the congregation. Now, both Palm Sunday and baptism are seen as signs of surrender to a higher purpose and to the Father. Jesus willingly entered Jerusalem. He knew what was waiting for him at the end of Easter week, and yet he surrendered to the Father's will anyway. In baptism, a person surrenders the old life to embrace a new life in Christ. And we're really glad that all of you are here today to witness this and be a part of this. And I want to say to you that if you have any questions about anything about the baptism or about how to have a relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we would be very pleased to have that conversation with you. All you have to do is just, you know, tap me or one of our deacons or somebody, you know, that you know is part of the church here, and we would love to share with you. Would you pray with me as we finish? Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who were baptized today, and we thank you for the joyful beginning to Holy Week. We thank you for the Palm Parade, and we give that to Jesus as an offering. And as we go through this week, may we have open hearts to hear what you speak to us and open arms to receive you. Lord, create in us a clean heart. Wash us with the blood of the Lamb. Forgive our sins. Renew our minds. As we continue to pray, if you sense God calling you today, you can start your own journey. You can say to God, Lord God, I believe that you died for my sins and you rose on the third day. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. Please forgive my sins. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Right now, I give my life to follow you. I thank you for saving me. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.